नारायणा नमस्कृत्या नरुं चैवं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततोजयं मुदीरयत् नश्च प्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवाय भागवत उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण टू एवरीवन इन द कॉल दिस मॉर्निंग्स टेक्स्ट फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 26 ओके सो दिस इज महाराज शाबदेव टॉकिंग टू हिज 100 सन्स एंड दिस पार्ट ही फोकसेस ऑन एनवी. Okay, so here's the text. Sarvani madhishtaya bhavadi bhavadvish charambhutam sutadruvani sambhambhitavyani pade padevo vivikta drigbish taduhar harnam me. Word for word translation. Sarvani, all. Madhishtaya, because of being my sitting place. Bhavadbi, by you. Charani, that move. Bhutani, living entities. Suta, my dear sons. Dhruvani, that do not move. Sambhavitavyani, to be respected. Pade, pade, at every moment. Va, by you. Vivikta, drigvi, possessing clear vision and understanding. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature is situated everywhere. Tat u, that indirectly. Ha, certainly. Ahanam, offering respect. Me, unto me. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear sons, you should not envy any living entity, be he moving or non-moving. Knowing that I am situated in them, you should offer respect to all of them at every moment. In this way, you offer respect to me. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word vivikta drigbi, meaning without envy, is used. All living entities are the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature. As confirmed in Brahma Samhita, andantarastam paramanu chayantarastam, the Lord is situated in this universe as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu and Shirodakshayi Vishnu. He is also situated within every atom. According to the Vedic statement, Ishabhasham Idam Sarvam, Upanishad Mantra 1. The Supreme Lord is situated everywhere. And wherever He is situated is His temple. We even offer respects to a temple from a distant place, and all living entities should similarly be offered respect. This is different from the theory of pantheism, which holds that everything is God. Everything has a relationship with God because God is situated everywhere. We should not make any particular distinction between the poor and the rich, like the foolish worshippers of Daridra Narayan. Narayan is present in the rich as well as the poor. One should not simply think Narayan is situated among the poor. He is everywhere. An advanced devotee will offer respects to everyone, even to cats and dogs. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Suni Chaiva Swapakecha Pandita Sama Dashina. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, an outcast. This is Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 18. This samadarshinaha, equal vision, should not be mistaken to mean that the individual is the same as the Supreme Lord. They are always distinct. Every individual person is different from the Supreme Lord. It is a mistake to equate the individual living entity with the Supreme Lord on the plea of Vivektadrik Samadrik. The Lord is always in an exalted position, even though he agrees to live everywhere. Srila Madhvacharya, quoting from Padma Purana, states, Vivikta Dikshi Jivanam Deshnataya Parameshwarasya Veda Drishtihi. One who has clear vision and one who is devoid of envy can see that the Supreme Lord is separate from all living entities, although he is situated in every living entity. Madhvacharya further quotes from the Padma Purana, Upapadayet Paramatmanam Divebhyo Ya Pade Pade Vedeneva Na Chetasmat Priyo Vishnustu Kaschana. One who sees a living entity and the Supreme Lord as always distinct is very dear to the Lord. Padma Purana also states, Yo Harescheva Jivanam Veda Bhakta Hare Priyaha. One who preaches that the living entities are separate from the Supreme Lord is very dear to Lord Vishnu. Om Magyanati Mirandasya Dhyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurive Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Swa Padantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tansajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Narita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha. E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpat Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhibhye Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatya Deshitarini Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prima Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gura Srisye Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himavya Divyacha Vishundaraya Tasmei Mahaprima Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So again, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, that's Lord Rishabhadev talking to his sons. Text 26, translation, My dear sons, you should not envy any living entity, be he moving or non-moving. Knowing that I'm situated in them, you should offer respect to all of them at every moment. In this way, you offer respect to me. Maharaj Yashabadev's advice to his 100 sons is one of the wonderful parts of Srimad Bhagavatam, or recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam. His 100 sons are all elevated. In another part, it says they are all very well versed in the Vedic scriptures, all 100 of them. The first one is the one who became emperor, Bhad Maharaj, Bhadvasha, India, is named after him. Now, historically, at one point, the whole world was like that, named that way. And according to what I've been told, India, Africa, Asia, all of them are one land mass. Then India extending to Asia and all of that into Africa was one landmass. Of course, earth changes have caused the waters to separate the land to some extent. And to even get off a little bit to even what I know about my own life before I got married, the Mataji that I was talking to, who became my wife later when I was associating, we compared life do's and don'ts in India with do's and don'ts in Ghana, in particular in Africa, Ghana, West Africa. And we realized that a lot of things that she was taught when she was growing were the same things that I was taught when I was growing. So that shows you that there had to be historically a connection where the culture was actually the same at some point, and then it got separated. Well, so Maharaj Shabadev is saying to his sons, first of all, you should be renounced. Tapo vidyam putraka. That's the first thing he told them. My dear sons, this life is about renunciation. Now, if you're renounced, you can't possibly envy anyone. You can't possibly envy anyone. Anyone who says they're renounced or thinks they're renounced but envies someone has something that they've noticed about that person that they would like. Now, how can a person that's trying to stay away from things or at least mentally disconnect with things be interested in something owned by someone else? So much so that they develop negative energy towards the fact that they do not have it and the other person has it. Envy. So it's not surprising that Maharaj Shabadev will back up the whole point to his sons about renunciation with the fact that they should also not envy any living entity. Be he moving or not moving? No living entity should be envied, moving or not moving. And then he says that, know that I'm situated in them. And we understand from Srila Prabhupada's teachings that that's the Paramatma. Krishna is Paramatma. Krishna and Paramatma are the same. Activities may differ. Some activities Krishna performs that by his own will, by his own decision, the Paramatma does not perform. It's not that Paramatma cannot perform. Paramatma simply does not. But that's Krishna's own will, because this is the same personality. He says that, know that I'm situated in them. Maharaj Shabadev is the incarnation of a Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, the activities may differ. In this case, he's acting, Maharaj Shabadev, as a king. And he has 100 sons. And he's advising them prior to leaving the kingdom for them, especially for Bhad Maharaj, the first one, to be the ruler, and the rest should serve him. This is the way he's going to describe things later. So you should offer respect to all living entities because I, as Paramatma, am situated in them. Maharaj Shabadev is explaining that way. So if you respect, offer respect to them, since I'm in them, then you automatically offer respect to me also. So in the purport, see, the purport says, Vibhita Drigbi, that word in the verse, meaning without envy, is used. All living entities are the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature. All living entities. Resides, the Paramatma resides in the heart of a living entity. And the Paramatma, as we said earlier, is Krishna. See, the Prabhupada gives an example. Sometimes a person may stand quite a few miles from what they perceive to be a mountain. It's not too hard. The size of mountains, you can tell when you get even some miles away from them. If there's nothing obstructing your view, you will see that it's a mountain. And it extends for miles and has pretty decent height too. So the point is, though, that when somebody sees a mountain from far away, sometimes, especially in the morning, they just see like haze. Don't really see the mountain for what it is. Srila Prabhupada explains that when the person that's looking at the mountain gets closer, then they will see more green because of the color of the leaves of the trees, and the trees are just covering the mountain. So you see that green. But when we get closer, much closer to the mountain, then we see all kinds of living entities. Maybe somebody may even have built a house in one edge of a corner of it, or one part of it, or maybe at the bottom of it. So all living entities are there. Really, when you get to the mountain, then you really would even see some living entities, not just the trees only. So the vision becomes better the closer we get to the mountain. So the mountain is full of activity. It's like Krishna is also full of variegatedness. So Paramatma is in fact Krishna in that feature, living, situated in our hearts, guiding. If we want to take his guidance, we have the freedom. We may choose to envy, we may choose not to envy, but of course, what is good is what's important for us if we want to get out of this cosmic jail that we're in. So, Srila Prabhupada says, Ishtavasya Idam Sarvam, it's Upanishad Mantra 1. We all have our quota. We all have been supplied our quota. Therefore, what is not for us, we should understand, we should let it alone, knowing who really it belongs to. This is the mantra, the explanation of the mantra, is Upanishad. So, if we are to understand that our quota is just that, and we should leave everything else, knowing who it belongs to, then we just have to abide by that, and we won't envy anyone or anything. What's for us has come to us. What's with us now, we should understand, is meant for us to use to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His eternal servants. That's everyone, whether they understand that they are a devotee or not. Those who know that they are devotees of the Lord, they are fortunate. Those who don't know, well, they'll be fortunate later, depending on how hard we work to try to convince them and how open they are to take what we tell them and what we show them. We ourselves are learning, but still, the little that we know is transcendental and it's extremely helpful. And if we make it our business to try to disseminate the knowledge and live the example of devotional service at the same time, we will be very much effective in propagating Krishna consciousness. Now, Srila Prabhupada said the Supreme Lord is situated everywhere. And wherever He is situated is His temple. The Lord purifies. The Lord, in anywhere, in any situation He is at, He is worshipable. We worship Krishna in the temple. Therefore, by logic alone, if He is a certain place, that place is automatically a temple. He would be worshipped there. And the business of a temple is Krishna's business, and we go in to worship Krishna. Therefore, Krishna's position everywhere He is, automatically that place is worshipable. He is worshipable, and therefore that place is a temple. So we can even offer respect to a temple from a distant place. The way it is now in Jagannath Puri, unless you're Hindu, you're not allowed into the temple. But there's a chakra, from my understanding, on the top of the temple building, and we can worship. When we dedicate our hearts to worship, when we're near the area and just worship the temple, the chakra, it also has the same benefit as worshiping Lord Jagannath inside the temple. So even though things are arguably different from what it could be, still, by the Lord's mercy, we're benefiting, even those of us who cannot go inside the Jagannath Temple in Jagannath Puri. So, Srila Prabhupada is making the point here, relating offering respects to a temple from a distant place, that all living entities should similarly be offered respect because the Lord is in that particular person's heart or living entity's heart. Reminds me of one situation in Boone, North Carolina. Boone is a place where a little town in the Sadhu Sangha, wonderful kirtan for one weekend in the summer normally is organized. So I was there, I think 3 years ago, and I saw one of the elevated disciples of Srila Prabhupada. He's called Mother, Her Grace Malati, Mataji. And I went to see her because somebody had come to tell me that she wanted to see me. So I went there, and the first thing I did in the middle of a kirtan, a rousing kirtan, was I offered obeisances to her. And when I offered obeisances, when I got up, I realized she was also getting up. And I'm saying, Mataji, I'm second generation. You are a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. So how come when I offer respect, you also have gone down to offer respect? In other words, I know she shouldn't offer respect to me, obeisances to me, not in that way. Okay. And she replied, I offered respect to the Lord in your heart. I said, yep, you beat me again. So I smiled, and then we talked about a few things. It was really about Japa CD for Srila Prabhupada, which you can find everywhere. But there was one that I had done that combines the Japa by my spiritual master, Bhaktivedanta Swami, with Japa by Srila Prabhupada at the same time. I have a recording studio, so I just put those two together and made one. And she liked it a lot, so she said hers was broken. Should I send her some CDs? So I did later. But she offered us obeisance. She was telling me to the Lord in my heart. Okay. So everybody is fortunate in that way. All we have to do is follow what the scripture tells us to do, what the senior devotees who are advanced and understand what's right tell us to do, what the spiritual master tells us to do, and the Lord will be more than happy. To make it possible for us to do those activities in Bhakti Yoga. And in that way, we'll be happy. And the happier we are from our heart, the less envy that we will show to anyone. Sometimes we show envy at all. We said sometimes, because Maya is always knocking at the door to our heart, trying to offer us something that is not right. But Maya is not trying to sabotage our devotional life. Maya just tests us to find out whether we really want to stay in the right way of doing things. When we go to school, we get tested. This is also a school. The material world is jail. Yes, jail means it is designed that we will not be totally happy here. Because Krishna doesn't want us staying here. Krishna wants us back. As a matter of fact, there's another part in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya is talking with Haridas Thakur. And he was opening up, as emotional as he's a devotee. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna come as a devotee. And he's very concerned about why people are trying to make life comfortable here for them when in fact it never will be comfortable. He wants devotees to go back to the spiritual world. And so he was expressing the anxiety over the fact that more people are not trying to give or take, sorry, take what he is so freely given, Krishna Prema, and go back to Godhead. And so it's interestingly enough, the Lord and his devotee, sometimes the interaction between them is quite interesting. It's transcendental, but it's quite interesting also. So when you look at Haridas Thakur's position as Namacharya and the Lord himself, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and Haridas Thakur is consoling Lord Chaitanya. Interesting enough, he said, don't worry, Now, I'm just paraphrasing. Don't worry that long as the name Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is being reverberated on this earth, that devotees would take to it and more devotees would turn to it, especially in the times of desperation when they realize that this arena is not going to be helpful to them. It's very much an illusory place because it tends to make you think that once a new item comes out, a new electronic gadget comes out, life will be much more convenient, therefore we'll be happy. Well, new items would come every time people go to work just to produce new items. But Srila Prabhupada has told us, simplify our lives. Now, if we use new items to make it more effective for us to worship Krishna and also serve the devotees, that's always good. That's always good. But we also have to simplify our lives. In other words, we have to see things for what they are. Before we buy an item, is this helpful in my spiritual life? Is this safe for me? Now, when we talk about the question of safety, we can be at this for a long time. Because obviously, in this world, there is in fact happiness and distress. And sometimes even the items that we find convenient to use can give us distress too. And that's everything. Not just the ones that we have produced. Even the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, as helpful as they are to our material life, can also be the source of problems. The earth. Well, the earth mother, the soil, feeds us. It feeds the animals, especially those that eat grass. It also feeds the birds. It also feeds everything. Plants, they are nourished to grow. And we get nourishment from the fruit of the plant. So all of this is good from the earth. But when there's an earthquake, that's trouble. The same earth shakes or opens up, and then there's problems. Fire. Fire can be used to cook. Fire can be used to keep us warm. But then when the house catches fire, or a whole place is burning and threatening homes, the same fire now is problems. It gives us problems. Water. Yes, we need water. The plants need water. People need water. Water is just literally helpful in many, many, many respects. Yet, when the water becomes too much and we have a flood, that's another story. Problems. Earth, water, fire, air. Air we definitely need. We breathe. But when it goes faster and it whizzes around to form a tornado, that's another story. Now it's destructive. In a hurricane, along with water, it is destructive. And ether, or in our simple language we call space. Yes, so much is done in space. We even fly our planes in space, but then when the plane is up in the air and something goes wrong with it and it's coming down, you're going to wish you're on the ground then. Well, you're up in space, and because of space and gravity, now the plane is going to crash. So the very things that help us can also give us problems. That's why we should not envy anyone, because when we envy, then we are asking to stay here. In this material world, in this cosmic jail, we're asking to literally stay here. And since we know there's only sense gratification, we call happiness, we see the Prabhupada put it in its proper place, sense gratification. And problems. As opposed to the spiritual world, where it's all wonderful. It makes sense that we need to go back to the spiritual world. But we have forgotten how wonderful the spiritual world is. And so we have been deceived into thinking, especially if we live in the advanced countries, so-called advanced countries materially, that if we just try hard to make our lives, or work hard, I should say, to make our lives comfortable by, you know, what we get from working hard, money especially, then we'll be happy. But as we've described, all kinds of problems come. These things, the very things that help us, sometimes gives us problems too, as we explained earlier. So this place, as Radha Maharaj was explaining the other day to his, in the lecture, this material world is designed to give us enough problems so that some of us, when we come to our senses, will turn and say, why am I suffering here? Isn't there a better place? If the Supreme Lord is kind, gentle, loving, and powerful, well, that kind of combination should make us think the Supreme Lord would create a place really wonderful and eternally wonderful with no anxiety. Well, the fact is, there is that place, the spiritual world. We just have forgotten that it is there. So then the Parampara come to tell us it is there. But Srila Prabhupada always had to add to, you know, his teachings that we have forgotten. We have forgotten what it is like there. So sometimes we read the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or it gets narrated to us, and it's all anxiety-free, and it's all wonderful. And the Lord and his gopis, they definitely relate wonderfully in Madhurya Ras. The Rasa dance and so on. Srila Prabhupada has talked about it quite a bit. Some parts of it in the Bhagavatam is explained quite simply, but it's actually deeper, the Ras between the Lord and the gopis. But Srila Prabhupada has also said, it is for advanced devotees, the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First he said, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first and second canto, that's the Lord's lotus feet. That's where we need to be. And when we understand the way things are, we go up to the third canto, Lord Kapila is describing Sankhya philosophy, and up to the fourth canto, and then the fifth, where we are at now, Maharaj Vrishabhadeva, and then the seventh canto, you see Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu, so many things that we learn from. Then, past the ninth canto, you get to the tenth canto, where a person has had good understanding and is trying to live according to the understanding that's in the first nine cantos. Then, the tenth canto is, Srila Prabhupada says, the face of Krishna. That is pastimes from his birth. And a little bit about the cowherd men, the cows, the cowherd boys, the young Mataji gopis, the older gopis, and then the pastimes. And then we begin to get a sense of how wonderful it is. So we'll say a little bit about not just life there in Vrindavan. A replica of Golok Vrindavan is at a higher vibrational level, to use New Age terminology, also in Vrindavan. You can't see it with these eyes, but it is there. It can be experienced. The more elevated we are and the more humble that we are, and the less envious that we are, that we can, in fact, sometimes be given the vision through the mercy of a spiritual master. This has happened to some devotees who've talked about it, especially some of us, some of the devotees who are sannyasis. They've related instances where Srila Prabhupada has allowed them to see parts of Vrindavan in India with Krishna and the gopis. They've actually talked about it. A few of them have mentioned it. So they are there, but they are living at the level that we cannot quite perceive yet. Yet we're getting the mercy by also being associated with devotees who are teaching us. So the less envious we are, the more open our hearts would be to hearing this, and also by the mercy of the Parampara, sometimes experiencing it. So envy is an age-old problem. Envy is the reason why we are taken out of the spiritual world, envying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, as far as other people, other entities in the spiritual world, majority of all of us are in the spiritual world, the minority are here in the material world, you don't hear much about envy of one personality to another personality. But you hear about envy of one towards the Lord himself, Lord Krishna. Why? Well, everything belongs to the Lord. He is the most lovable object. As we talk, every focus is always on Him, how to serve Him. Now, whatever is needed for service is provided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world. Everyone can get whatever they wish for because of their desire trees. So there's no need to say, oh, this person has this, I don't have. Well, as you desire, you will get it. So no point envying someone else. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all of the marbles. Speaking in American jargon, every focus is on Him. Every talk is about Him. Ultimately, all the service is to Him. But He's the owner of everything. So, it should be like that. But sometimes, because He has given the free will, small amount though it may be, but the free will is there for every living entity. So we're free to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a servant of a servant of a servant. Or, unfortunately, sometimes a person's mind or a soul's mind may say, but why does the Lord have all of these and all the attention? And why am I not at least at His level? And that begins envy. And when that happens, then we can't stay, because you're going to bring negativity then to the residents of the spiritual world. So then you're taken out and then brought to the material world. Even so, for those souls who leave the material and the spiritual world because of envy, Krishna doesn't bring them to a very, very low level. Most of them, if not all of them, are at different levels of demigods. So there are, in fact, quite a bit of, even in the material world, items available for relatively easy living, even in the material world. But when the person begins to desire other things or envious of other things that other people have and want to be that way and want to have a certain type of body because they think there's more sense gratification in that type of body or that place, then, of course, we are, as soon as in the material world, this is birth and death now. The soul goes from the childhood to youth to old age, and when the body is no longer needed, then it goes to another. Start over again. Based on desire. So when we want to go back to the spiritual world, then this body will be the last one. We're hoping that and praying that way for everybody. The last one. When a devotee is leaving the body, we're going to miss the association. So it's hard on us. But we also have to think, the devotee that's leaving, if they have done things right and they put themselves in a situation where there's a high chance of earning the mercy of the Lord and going back home, this person is leaving the prison. That's good. If a person is leaving the prison into life, which is wonderful and eternal, that's very good. So, I remember when my spiritual master left the body, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj left the body in Gidanagri. We were all very sad to see his disciples and other God brothers and God sisters of his who came to see him. We were sad to see physical condition, because he was very emaciated, he was very weak, and the cancer was giving him a lot of pain. He said some places that, he explained later on to Radha Swami, who told us in the lecture, that it gets to a point where the pain is so much, no amount of medicine or tablets that could relieve the pain can even get to those points when the cancer is deep inside the bones. So he was suffering, and then he finally left. It was summer afternoon. He finally left. I was there at the time, not in the room, but in the around the building. So we heard the news, and then we came in, and it was very interesting what was going on with the devotees. Some devotees broke down and cried. Some devotees that did not want to did not want other devotees to see them cry, moved, this depending on what they like, you know, they moved to a different place in the building. And some of them onto the porch. And there are two porches on either side. And they cried there. But then there were other devotees who were jumping up and down. Jai, 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 victory, victory, victory. And they were thinking of this two things dynamics going on at the same time. Those who were crying and those who were extremely happy. And Maharaj left the body. Now, those who were crying, it's obvious, the missing his association. That doesn't need too much explanation. But those who were happy because Maharaj had been successful in his service here on the earth and successful in keeping away from Maya, because Maya attempts on everybody. And now he is going back to the spiritual world. And so those who were happy were thinking about him as the soul going back, having done Krishna's work so wonderfully, and now is going back to obviously what would be a wonderful meeting in the spiritual world. And the thought of that made them very happy. They weren't looking at Maharaj's body and how much terrible it looked. No, they weren't concerned about that. So that's the kind of person who is showing no envy at all. Happy that Maharaj is going to go back into a wonderful situation. The body that's giving him trouble, now he's left it. They're happy for him. Now, those who are crying are also not envious. They want the association. The association has been wonderful, and now they're going to live, they have to live without it. So they were also feeling down. So there was no envy at all. So in envious situations, we give our own selves trouble. Envy destroys someone's genuine devotional service. There was something that happened over a period of time to devotees. And I'll mention the place, but not the names. This is Gidanagari. So obviously, I lived there and I would know these things. At some point, Gidanagari is a wonderful place for the fact that the deities help us to get purified. Anyone that visits will not feel much of that. It's a wonderful place to be, and the deities are so kind, and the devotees are kind to visit us. Now, when you live there, that's a whole community of devotees looking to improve, or for in the case of Gidanagari, the deities help all of us to grow. So purification is a constant thing. Well, therefore, sometimes the lower nature of the devotees come out. So this situation, there was one Mataji who had a position on the board and so on. So it's one of the servant, as my Guru Maharaj likes to say, servant leaders. Now, it turned out that he had a past, and she said it later on, that she had related to someone who was highly educated, and that person was troublesome. The relationship didn't work. It's a material relationship. This person is not a devotee. The person they related to. This was before even the Mataji herself became a devotee. And so she had bad experiences with this highly educated person. So then she had trouble with the highly educated devotees that were in Gidanagari, because they remind her, especially those in male bodies, remind her of what she had gone through. Now, clearly, these people that were educated, there were a few of them, they were not that person that the Mataji related to, but somehow she could not make the distinction that you're dealing with a different person here. And a person being educated is not necessarily going to be a turn off to you by how they behave. Yet, somehow, Maya kept her in that space of actually being envious. And so, a number of people who could have helped develop Gidanagari were stopped. Remember, this person was in a leadership position. Were literally stopped. Now, as terrible as that sounds, well, this is ISKCON, and ISKCON doesn't have all pure devotees. People are going through purification. So, literally, it went on for years and years and years before she was finally taken off leadership. 9 years went by. 9 years of things that could have happened for the benefit of Giranagari and benefit of the GBC, who was Bhaktisiddhanta Swami himself. It didn't happen. So we have to be very, very, very careful of envy and stay away from it. It reveals in so many different ways. This one may be surprising to you, that a person who has related to someone who's not even a devotee and had a bad experience, then he says, oh, well, anybody else also highly educated, they're going to get a bad experience. And she's going to get a bad experience with them. So now she uses a leadership position to try to keep them from serving like they'd like to serve. So in the end, well, the way you do things happen to you also. You reap what you sow, as the Christians like to put it. And therefore, it got to the point where now she looks back and she's very sorry for what she's done. But you can't change things like that. Like the Maharaj finally had to take him off because the community complained so much, different things that were not working well. They had a town meeting, and Maharaj says, I'm putting down my GBC hat, and you tell me whatever things. So these are all discussed, and at the end, 2 weeks later, there was a change of leadership. And finally, when Maharaj left the body, then many things also had to change at Giranagari. It is changed for the better in terms of the things that should have been done, that this Mataji block now has been done by another temple president, especially the infrastructure. Very greatly improved. But then, the deities are still there, and therefore the purification process is still going on in a different way. So we should stop envying. The bell in our minds, or the Lord in our heart, if you are listening very closely, when things come, we begin to envy someone for what they have. A bell should go in our heart. No, 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 no. I'm asking for trouble. I can't go back. Why? If you envy anyone, Maharaj Sabadev put it, the Lord is in the heart of that person. So paying no respect to that person and envying that person, you will not be respecting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is in the heart of that person. Now, remember also, Krishna has provided everything in the spiritual world. So we just need to get back. And there's no need to envy anyone. We should help people to go back. If you envy someone here in this material world, you will not be able to stop envying Krishna. You won't be. Because Krishna has everything. What is it that someone else has that Krishna doesn't have several times over? So then, if we envy someone for what they have, or what they are, or what they're able to, their person, what they've achieved, then we'll have trouble looking at Krishna, who owns everything in the spiritual world, and not envy Krishna. So if we envy someone here in the material world, we will not be able to stop envying Krishna. It's very important. So then, what's the antidote? We'll say a few, and then we'll stop. This one came from my mother, the first one, my material mother. She told me, as far as envy goes, get yours. If something that someone else has is that important to you, they weren't born with it. You get your own. You've seen that, you say you like it, then work hard and do what it takes, in a positive way, not in a cheating way, to get yours. That's all. You can get something that's bigger than theirs if this is so important to you. Get yours. Spiritually, you can chant, next point, and ask Lord Gauranga for detachment. Because after all, this is not our home. Our home is in the spiritual world. So if we're detached, we won't be envious of anything. If you're detached materially, we won't be envious of anything the material person, in material way that this person has. Then, rather than envying the person, we're talking about devotee this time, a devotee, we should pray to the Lord and help the person to use his acquisitions, what they have, for serving Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So if you do that, then there's no point in envying the person, because now you are in that space of, or that mindset of the person being helped to use what he has for serving Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Now, Krishna is in everyone's heart. The Lord is in everyone's heart. So if we pray like that, we may say, well, you know, this person, they can do whatever they want with what they have. But every prayer is heard. The Lord is in your heart. The Lord is in their heart. And every prayer is heard. And having that prayer come out of you to the Lord, that the person uses acquisitions for what's in net with them to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are actually helping that person to increase their devotion and service. Now, it may be in a prayer form, yes, but if it's sincere, a sincere prayer, and by the way, it cuts off envy, because now you're thinking of the person using it to serve the Lord, and you're praying that happen. So then why would you be envious to get it? When in fact you have to serve the Lord and they also want to serve the Lord. So that way, then that envy, that feeling of envy then is controlled. So there are other ways too, but then I'm looking at the time and I think we'll wrap it up. And to go back to the original. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So translation, my dear sons, this is Maharaj Sabadev speaking. You should not envy any living entity, be he moving or non-moving. Knowing that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, am situated in them, you should offer respect to all of them at every moment. In this way, you offer respect to me. Hare Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So if you now can unmute your phone and ask questions if you want. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy. Guru's mercy. Yes. Mm-hmm. What's been explained to me, because I'll only share what's been explained to me. What's been explained to me is, see, some of them, we say they fall from the spiritual world, but they don't fall so low. In fact, in a morning walk, this question was asked. And I remember how the Buddha asked. So when a person falls from the spiritual world, do they come to the lowest of the 8,400,000 types of material bodies, or somewhere, or do they start from the top, or somewhere in the middle? Where? How does that happen? The first thing that Srila Prabhupada says is based on desire. Now, it's based on desire. Whatever it is that we are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when we come to the spiritual world, we come to the material world, we will get that, or we'll be associated with that, or we'll become that. Many of the people who envy, those who envy the, I shouldn't say people, the entities who envy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they envy the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his possessions, which in this case is everything. And so when they fall, those people that are envying that way for just regular, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, just the amount of wealth that the Supreme explains that Krishna has, then they will be in a situation where they'll have a lot of wealth. And the biggest one is being a demigod, wealth. But, and so that's most of the people will start that way. But when they are desiring other things, we desire other things in the material world, then, you know, or depending on what they also do in terms of their activities, some of them, the negative ones, then they will, you know, undergo what they have to, what they will undergo based on the Lord's agents, Yamaraj, and what they do to the person. So that's when then other things come into play. Now, when the world is destroyed, the living entities that have made it back, that have not made it back to the spiritual world, they'll have to wait for some time for Mahavishnu to breathe out, and then they'll come, and then they'll continue where they were at. Now, the desires at that point before they got destroyed, that's what destroyed means they're going to die. The physical body gets left when the material world is destroyed like that. The physical bodies don't go with those souls. They'll be inside Lord Mahavishnu. But when they come out, based on where the desires are, then they will be all the activities they perform, more the passion, more the ignorance especially, then they will be in the other types of bodies too, created by Lord Brahma. And sometimes Kashyapa Muni, they all help in the creation to get into. So it's a good question, but it's also a complicated question. If the, and I'll just say one more thing about it. If there was something about Krishna particularly that he had that people, the person envied, they may have that form similar to it in the material world. That also happens. But a good many of them would start at the demigod level and then come down. So desire is there. The envy, Krishna's wealth, well, that may, you get out of the spiritual world envying Krishna's wealth, but you also be put in a situation you wanted desires, wealth, well, so you get wealth, which means the biggest one is for the demigods. But if a particular thing about Krishna that you wanted to have or wanted to be like, well, then you can be the equivalent of it in the material world. So that's how the varieties also come. Like that. Hare Krishna.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I got the answer here.
Okay. That's a long way of going around. Any other questions?
Prabhuji.
Yeah.
I don't have a question. It's an observation. I was listening to one of the lectures and some other people. I can forward it to the class. It was just to Shiva and Bhagavad and Deva's coaching. Clearly mentioned that when we are coming into this world, each and every being, supposedly, we have to crawl each and every, we have to take a body before we acquire the human body. We have to go through the bodies of every possible being. Like, for example, you know, being in the aquatic, it's not like, okay, we got one fish, so the fishing thing is done, and then let's go to the bird. It's not like that. But once we are in the aquatic, for example, we will be a starfish, a jellyfish, a seahorse, a this, a that, then going, so it's like, and that's why, that's why they think that human body that we have gotten now, we are so fortunate. Not the human body. Only from this body we will be able, because only in the human form we are much more conscious, much more evolved.
Yes.
So it is. So hence, what is happening here is that I'm getting confused again. Like for example, so by default, the way I understood that, but that's just like default, but that we have to, once we are here in this world. Prior to attaining the human body, we attain every other kind of body that we can imagine. It's a long, 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 long run. And after that, we come here. So,
okay.
So, anyways, I'm just
I understand. Yeah, it's important. It's important that that's been made. So, okay, so one of the things that I will just, we'll just throw out is that Krishna is not always predictable. And his activities are not always predictable. A soul in a dog body, a soul in a lion's body, By two different pastimes, they went directly from the animal body to the spiritual world. There were devotees, I mean not devotees, there were entities in a hellish planet. This is a story of, it connects with Ekadashi, that were also, where Krishna was hearing sounds of despair and screams. And Yamaraj explained, that these were those in the hellish planet that had done bad things when they were in the median type planet, earthly planets, that were suffering and their screams were occurring. Now, Ekadashi, they fasted in Ekadashi, and this is through Ekadashi herself. Mataji arranged for that. This is how Ekadashi actually came to be. And they were promoted to the spiritual world. So we're making the point that things don't always happen according to the regular way that you may have heard it. Krishna's mercies are always there. And when a person turns to Krishna, then they don't necessarily have to go through all of this necessary. Some people do go through it. Some entities do go through all of the bodies, but some entities don't. So it's not always a set answer here. The things don't happen normally. Even the ages. If we say we're in Kali Yuga, how come we're doing deity worship? Deity worship is Dwapara Yuga. Yuga Dharma for Dwapara Yuga. But we're doing deity worship now. 5,000 years into Kali Yuga. So, and then if you talk about the pastimes, that's even more complicated. Different pastimes, sometimes, you know, the Lord takes birth with some demigod or related to some demigod, or Lord Varaha came out of Brahma's nose. So, you know, these things, Krishna is not one-dimensional. It never is one-dimensional. So when you hear that somebody tells you that, yes, you have to go through all of those entities, some entities will go through that, some entities will not, depending on the mercy of the Lord. So it's not wrong for Amarendra Prabhu to put it that way, but it's not always the case, though. That I can tell you. That's why I see Prabhupada when he said, do they fall low? Bhaktira Maharaj also said some of them don't fall so low. And those who don't fall so low, it depends on what they were envying Krishna about. That's how it starts. It depends on how they envy Krishna about. His general wealth, you're going to get wealth, but material wealth, sitting in the, you know, in the heavenly planets. If you envy something else about that, well, you might take birth in that particular thing. But good, many of them do, in fact, get to demigod status first. See, and we could talk more about it because, you know, then you have to relate it to Mahavishnu. Because when the pores are coming, I mean, the universes are coming out from its pores, the universe don't come all at once. It's over time, and therefore, so it's a continuous process of, you know, the souls taking different bodies in different universes. And these 8 million, if we talk about non-human bodies, the 8 million ones are not all in the same universe. They are in different universes. So it's far more intricate. I don't want to use the word complicated, but I just didn't say intricate. It's more intricate than we think. You can't put a simple answer to that. No. No. So hopefully maybe that makes the point. I mean, talked about you can go through, depending on how sinful you are or what your desires are. You can't, I mean, these days, I don't know who's going to want to, you know, desire to be a germ, for example. It would take more of ignorance, very bad ones, like what Hitler did, to be put in a germ body. So again, desires and activities, nefarious activities, do play a role. Even from envying for Krishna in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna.
You're right. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. First of all, of course, our desire plays a role. If we have a desire to enjoy ourselves, we might get that. So we have a body, we need a dog, we need a human. And also, it's a level of envy that brings us down.
Yes.
There is no more energy in the like become like a germ.
Yes. Demonic. Yes. Yeah, the more demonic activity, the more demonic activity, further down you go for punishment. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Do you have any further questions for the group, or we can end the call?
The overriding situation is in fact Krishna's mercy. The overriding situation, and that's why it's not. It can't be regular, because Krishna's mercy is Krishna is merciful as he likes when he likes. That's why things can never be regular like that. Although it's important to mention that they're there, and they're obviously, you know, 8 million. Non-human species, and somebody's going to take one of those bodies all the way at the bottom, depending on how much, how demonic they are, and the punishment for that, or their own desires, or some things that they want to be like, or their attachments to it, as Bharat Maharaj talked about him being attached to a deer at the expense of his, you know, performing his devotion service. So then, you know, for a short period of time, he had to be taught that lesson. So yeah, our desires are definitely play a big role. But we can always change our minds. Those in the hellish planets have gone to, ultimately, they've taken bodies that were not human bodies, but they'll come to a human body at some point. And if they're fortunate enough to meet a devotee or have prasadam at some point, even when you're in a non-human body, somebody gave prasadam to them, you know, they can take human bodies and start their devotional service back, journey back. So that's all there. Mercy plays a big role in this case. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu. And remember Sri Prabhupada's morning talk, which was given someone else, and Prabhupada said that atheists do not believe in Krishna, they don't worship because they're envious of Krishna. So one of the disciples asking that, but they don't even know what Krishna is, and how can you say that? And something he replied, do you remember what he said?
I don't want to use some strong words, but as far as demons, we should use strong words for them sometimes. It should be so obvious to them. You see, Papa used the word foolish so many times. Sometimes we think, boy, he used the word so many times. But the thing is,
even the word rascally is
strong
word, but
the thing is, it's so obvious. The word that describes Krishna is nature. Nobody can make nature. It's so obvious. You're born right into nature. You don't own nature. You cannot replicate. You can't duplicate nature. And nature is so intelligently put together. How can you say there is no engineer or mastermind behind that? Even if you don't want to call him God. How can you say there isn't? This is where the stupidity comes in. But it's envy, though. Because they want to, after they see what's there, they want to become second creators. And that's being done all the time, including the cell phones that we have. We just take some from nature and you put it together, and science. It's all from Lord Brahma being taught by Lord Vishnu. Put this together. And now they think, well, I've produced this. Therefore, I'm like, you know, if God is creator, I'm also creator. But how can you create anything without starting materials from nature? So we are subservient to nature. So if the demon is intelligent enough, they should see that they could never be at Krishna's level, and there has to be some engineer, because things don't produce themselves. They just don't. There's someone that has to put it out. So whatever name they want to call them, there has to be a mastermind behind all of this. And the things do have form, therefore the mastermind has to have form. It's just it, logic alone should tell you that. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to accept that because they want a world with my good man put it, taking the things here but putting God out of it. And that's the demonic consciousness. But you can beat a demon with logic. You say, can you make nature? No. But can you do anything without nature? No. Well, then you're subservient to nature. So nature can be your God then. But actually, there's one who's behind making this nature coming to be. Making it come to be. Therefore, that mastermind, some people call God. We have, obviously, if you want to go to Krishna consciousness, the most confidential name is the all-attractive Lord, Krishna. But he's the mastermind, though, behind this. Because you can't produce anything. You don't know anyone that's produced anything. Anything that's been produced without a mastermind, a person behind it, designing it and building it. Or getting some people to build it. That's just the way it is. And you also have to understand, if you cannot do things that nature produces, then the one who put it there is way more intelligent than you. Like that. It's all logic. So demonic people just deliberately, turn their minds away from those facts. And that's why they are demons. If you don't, Papa put it simply, if you do not believe in God, if you don't accept God, then you're a demon. Because then, you don't want God to, in your mind, have the place that he should have based on just nature alone and how it functions. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. So they make their own. But the thing is, you can never get out of this world that is troublesome. If they can't see it, that is troublesome. I don't know when they're going to see it because accidents happen all the time. We just simply look over and over. We just become experts in just putting it at the back of your mind. We tolerate. No, we are suffering. We are suffering. But devotees understand that, and therefore a little bit of austerity, not real austerity, but a little bit of pulling away from the things that keep us here in the material world, has been explained to us, we call austerity. But actually it's for our own good, not playing into the way things are normally here, people trying to enjoy their senses, and we use our senses to serve the Supreme Personality of God. It takes us back to the spiritual world, away from all of this anxiety-filled place. But demons don't want to admit. They just think one day we'll get it right. They never will get it right. It's not designed like that. So that's why we need to help them. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Okay.
Yes, Prabhu. And also, funny thing, people talking about this loss issue, how are you?
It's called a big lie. How are you doing? Oh, I'm okay. I'm doing great. Then you see the weather. Oh, boy. And then it rains. And then... Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, well, we lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves. But then, if we don't say things are good, well, we should at least be grateful for us being around. That gratitude should be there. But actually, it's also a misnomer because we really don't die. The soul doesn't die. And in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 2, text 23, 24, 25, they describe the natures of the soul. But the fact of the matter is, Srila Prabhupada has been very, very kind to us to point out to us we are in a suffering condition. And he likes, the way he puts things, it makes it so simple. He says, everything in the spiritual world is good, and everything in the material world is bad. In other words, whatever things that satisfy your senses, even in the material world, don't play into it because there's always distress around the corner. You will never be totally happy here, even if you satisfy your senses. The only way is to get out. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I also have a question I can ask.
Jai. Any other questions?
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna